Well, we've been in this warfare. We've been looking at the fact of being of the victory that's in Christ Jesus, and we'll attempt to finish up on that today. And the first week, I'm kind of go over all the things we looked at so far. If you take your Bibles, turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. We're going to kind of review pass back over all these things, and hopefully this encouraged some of us. I don't know, it's easy. I try not to get that way, but it's easy enough in this world and see all the things that's going on and all the problems, and, you know, oftentimes we wonder, say, I don't understand what's happened to some of our membership. And Brother Rick's talked to me about people that he's known working in the ministry and everything. Just seem like some of them just go crazy. You don't know what in the world is going on. So it's easy sometimes to get the mully grubs and get down, you know. But I want to remind us, according to this verse, in Romans 8:36, let me get there myself. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors. It says, as it is written, verse 37, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. So, you know, according to the Bible, you know, look, it doesn't mean there ain't going to be problems. And physical death is not losing. It's not losing. And a lot of that's the reason why I say a lot of times it might look like in this life, you know, and everything's coming apart. I thought we were conquerors. I thought we were victorious. Hey, our victory is not found in this world. Yeah. Our victory is found in Christ Jesus, and we know He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. So it's everything that He does in us and through us, and sometimes, whether it be life or whether it be by death, that Christ, you know, is going to have, He's going to do in us what He wants to do. For it is God that worketh in you, both the will and the do, His good pleasure. If He wants to be glorified in our death, that should be what we want. Amen. Hey, you want to get your prayers answered every time? Every time? And know that you got your prayers answered every time? All you have to do is learn what God wants from you and ask what He wants. That's what Jesus did. He always got His prayers answered. Why? Because He always prayed what the Father wanted. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Amen. Hey, if your delight is His delight, guess what? He's going to give you what you want. Because what you want is what He wants.
Yes, sir.
And so, right here, it doesn't matter if that we're cast down, destroyed. We may be a sheep for the slaughter, but notice this in the very next verse. Is it even though, hey, they take you out and kill you, guess what? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I'm going to tell you something.
Amen.
The love of God is more powerful than we can ever begin to imagine.
Amen.
It never fails. It'll accomplish everything that God desires, because it's His love that motivates everything that He does. For God is love. That's what we want to be. Amen. Hey, I know a lot of people they get kicked hard about it. It's love, love, love. Hey, that's fine. That's fine, because if it's the love of God, hey, when you love people, you learn to hate the right things.
Amen.
Huh? It's your love that promotes the things that you hate, the things that would hurt. So no matter what's happening in this life, I want to say, the Bible said we are more than conquerors. But the key is in Christ Jesus. You're not no conqueror in this world. You're not no conqueror in this flesh. You're not no conqueror, you know what I mean, in your spirit, but it's in the Spirit of God. And that is what we got to always have in mind. We are more than conquerors. We find in Romans 8, 1 through 3. Excuse me. Romans 8, 1 through 3. It says, "We are more than conquerors. There is therefore no condemnation which are in Christ Jesus. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that is weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." We're more than conquerors because there's no condemnation. God will not condemn us. Christ coming to the world not to condemn us, that the world through Him might be saved. We're more than conquerors because there is no more condemnation in Christ Jesus. Secondly, we are more than conquerors because of verse 9. Verse 9, "For you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." We're more than conquerors because we are not in the flesh, but we are in the Spirit, and we have the Spirit of God. We're more than conquerors. Hey, nothing can overcome God. We're in God. We're more than conquerors, not only because we are not in the Spirit, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, but we're more than conquerors because of 8:14. In 8:14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Hey, if you're following yourself, guess what? You're going to mess up. If you follow this world, we know what this world is. The end of this world is destruction. If you're following yourself, you're following, you know, this world, or you're following the spirit of Antichrist. You say, "Well, we're saved. Ain't no way you can follow the spirit of Antichrist." Don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? There's a lot of saved people that's following the spirit of Antichrist. So don't you believe it? There's a lot of them out there. And I'm going to tell you something. I have never in my life, Brother Rick, felt that spirit so prevalent in the church as I often feel it today. It's all nicey spicy. The only thing it cares about is self-elevation and promoting the self. So, like me and the preacher was talking about, a thing of pride, you know. It goes from one end of the spectrum to the other. It vaunts itself up, or it abases itself. It don't make no difference. Anything to take you in to make you feel good about yourself, it'll do it. If it makes you feel good to say, "I'm a worm," he said, "Go ahead, be a worm." Make you feel good about yourself? Hey, it's not about feeling good about yourself. It's about finding the will of Christ and doing it. Amen. It's about being led in the Spirit of God. It's about yielding to God. Because I'm going to tell you something. In you that is your flesh dwelleth no good thing. You can't trust yourself, not that much. The Bible said what overcomes this world is your faith. And you know where your faith comes from, don't you? Huh? It don't come out of you. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. And if you have faith, it starts off when you humble yourself and realize you're lost, accept Jesus, and you get the faith of the Son of God indwelt in you. And the faith of the Son of God works in you and teaches you the faith, the Word of God. And then the Word of God produces faith in you to do what God wants you to do.
Amen. Amen.
And faith without works is a lie. Faith without works is a lie. If there's faith, there's going to be works. If you ain't doing nothing, I ain't talking about knocking doors. I'm telling you, if there ain't something working in you to do the will what God wants you to do, then it's a lie. It produces work. You didn't see Jesus, you know, sitting there and said, "Oh, you know, this is God, you know," and then the spouse and everything. He went about doing good. And we are Christ in His world. We are His body. And if you're part of Christ, you ought to be doing what Jesus did. We looked at that last week. How it says right there, as Christ was in this world, so are we. He's going about doing good. You're going to be going about doing good. And what's good? It's doing God. That's what it is. There's none good but God. It's God's will coming out of you. That's what good is. It ain't about you. It ain't about what you do. It's what God does through you is good. Everything else is just flesh, world, and the Antichrist. Antichrist does a lot of good work. You say, I don't believe that. When's the last time you seen an advertisement for the Shriners Hospital? Huh? You going to try to tell me that's a God? Huh? Let's look at all the good works that the Mormons do in this world. What we would call good works, helping people, feeding people, doing this and doing that. Huh? You could even come down and find that the atheists do that. They're little groups. They go out and do humanitarian acts, you know, the Brotherhood of Man. Is that good? No, it ain't good. It's a lie. It's all about pride, building yourself up. We're more than conquerors because we're led of the Spirit. Also, we are more than conquerors, and look at 8:15 and 16. For we have not received the spirit of bondage, again of fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, the Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. So if we're more than conquerors because we're the children of God. He cannot lose. We are more than conquerors because we are the children of God. Not only that, and verse 8:26. Look at this, 8:26. And you know, being the children of God, I should have read this too. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, if we be children of God, here's that part that, man, you don't hear mentioned a whole lot, but we need to teach it more and more, especially to our children, and that is that we suffer with Him. Paul said, I might know Him, the power of His resurrection. And the only way you know that power is found in the fellowship of His suffering. That means putting up with some stuff. Long suffering, forbearance. It means trouble in this world. Jesus said, in this world you got tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome it. And He said, we are heirs and joint heirs. That means everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you. Amen. Not some words, not if we make it to heaven, but right now you're a joint heir with Christ. Everything that belongs to Him belongs to you. All of His resources, everything, all the power, all power is given unto Him. And all we got to do is get yielded to Him. And all that is available to us. We're more than conquerors. But I got to get going because I got to finish this out. Also, in Romans 8:26, we're more than conquerors. But you'll read there. Because the Spirit, it prays for us. Romans 8:31-32. If God be for us, who can be against us? God is for us. We're more than conquerors. In Romans 8:37-39, we already read this, because we cannot be separated from the love of God because we're in Christ Jesus. Last week we looked at victory in Jesus Christ. All these verses, you look it up. Every verse that you find about victory, guess who the victory? Who got the victory? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We sang that song, Victory in Jesus. Amen. And that's the key right there. The key word is in. In Jesus. Yeah. The victory. victory. The victory we have is because we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the victor. And every verse in the Bible I looked up showed that Jesus Christ, that God Almighty, was the victor. You find out in 2 Samuel 9:2, 23:10 and 12, 1 Chronicles 9:11, Psalms 98:1, Isaiah 25:8, Matthew 11:20, 1 Corinthians 15:54, 55 and 57, 1 John 5:4, Revelations 15:2, and 1 John 4:1. You'll find that the reason we have victory is all because it's Jesus Christ that has gotten us the victory. And see, if you're resting in Him, you know you got victory.
Yes, sir.
I'm not saying you don't go through, don't ever get sad, don't ever get feeling down a little bit, because I'm gonna tell you something. It's painful in this world sometimes. We mentioned that fact that He's given us the victory over death, but we have not yet fully attained that. We have the promise. That's all. That body's gonna die. He asked prayer for his wife. Why? She just suffered the pain of death. It hurts when a loved one dies. There is sting in death. And Brother Joe, Buddy made that plain to us, teaching it over and over again. It's when and then. He says, when this mortal has been receive immortality. You know? When that comes, then shall come to say, O death. Yeah. O grave, where is thy victory? Because there's coming a time, praise God, we're coming up out. Amen?
Yes, sir.
We're going to have a like resurrection as the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a key to that, isn't it? And that's what I want to look at this morning. Hey, we received all these promises, and we have victory. But there's a key to that victory, and for us to enjoy it, it's ours. But there's a key to knowing and enjoying it. And I want you to take your Bibles, turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5, and we're going to read a story. Oh, victory in Jesus. 2 Kings chapter 5. It's a story, and we're going to read the whole story, and we're going to kind of get some thoughts out there as we go. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable. Because by him, I want you to notice this next. Because by him, what's the next two words? Someone, y'all read it out loud.
The Lord.
The Lord. I'll go back and read it. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. Because by him, the Lord. Deliverance unto Syria. It's the Lord that's done this. That's all I want you to get that, okay? It's the Lord that done it. Amen? We don't see that oftentimes. This man, he didn't know God. But God knew him. God knows them that are his. He knows them he's going to use. He's in charge of this thing. For by him, the Lord hath given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. He was the walking dead, wasn't he? He was dead while he yet liveth. But God knew him. And notice what happens here. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, What in the world? Hey, look at this. A little slave girl. What in the world would she care about them? You getting this picture? I hope you are. What would she care? She was taken slave. She was taken prisoner, made a slave in the house. And what did she do? She noted her master had leprosy. He was dead while he yet lived. He was slowly fading away, wasn't he? That's what this world's doing, isn't it? Slowly passing away. Look at that picture there. And he said, the king of Syria, it says right here, and she said to her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. See, that was of the word of the Lord. You know how I know that? Why in the world would he have believed that little story if it wasn't? Huh? You don't think he done been to everybody that was anybody? He was a great man. You don't think his king had all the available treatments, all the doctors, all the soothsayers, all the wise men, all that crowd? He done been to see all that crowd. And this little slave girl says, oh, I just wish he could be getting up with a fellow down there in Israel. He'd be recovered of his leprosy. Why in the world would they believe that? Because it is God that worketh in you both the will and the do of his good pleasure. It is God that was working in his life. It was God that gave victory to those Syrians. It was God that was speaking to that king to send him down there. Would God, my Lord, was with the prophet in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. I want you to look up there. I want you to see that. He was willing to pay any price. He was willing to give. He wanted to buy his salvation. Ain't that way it is for people in this world? You talk to them, you tell them, better you tell them something that they can do to escape hell, they probably do that. But if you tell them there's nothing you can do, then it's a gift, and they look at you like, you got to be out of your mind. I don't believe that. There's got to be more to it than that. But if it comes to just resting and trusting in God, this world has a hard time with that. You know why? Because of that thing of pride. So he goes and he brings this to him, and it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, and that this man doth sin unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider I, pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel with me. Now look here, I want you to notice something. This man had no more light and understanding than that Syrian did. But he was a child of Israel, was he not? He was the king of the land of Israel. He was blind as a bat. It ain't got nothing to do about who you are, who your family is, what your lineage is. Hey, God is showing right here. It made no difference that he was of the nation of Israel. He was blind as a bat. Was he not? Did he know about the man of God? Was he trusting God? He said, he come down and start a fight with me. He He come down here. He wants a war with me. He had no intention of going to God about this matter. Notice what happens when he says this to himself. He seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore? He said, why, king? Why do you do this? Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. If you don't know it, you let him come to me, he's going to know it. See, Israel was backslid on God. They were away from God. They were serving all these false gods, and they were into idolatry. They were away from God. They had set up their own worship there, away from God. And buddy, and they were doing... They were reaching out. They were doing the same thing that he was doing. They were trying to buy their way into heaven. Buy their way to get what they want from God. And it wasn't working. The boy of Elisha told him, he said, why you rent your garment? He said, all you had to do was come to me. I'm walking with God. I'm talking with God. I know the Lord. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think Elisha... It was more than anybody else? Isn't that what the Bible said about Elijah? Huh? But what was the difference? That's what we got to get a hold of. We got to realize. You want to have victory in Christ, you got to get what he had right there. He had confidence. He believed God. Notice what he says. So when Elijah, the man of God, heard this, he said, why have you rent thy garment? He said, bring him he, that he might know that there's a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha, notice what he did. He sent a messenger unto him. He didn't even come out and talk to him. What did he see? See, it wasn't in him. He sent him a message. God gave him the word. And he sent it by a messenger. And he said, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. And we know 7 times is the number of completion. Perfection. And the flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. And boy, Naaman got mad. I cannot believe it. It's just like when you go out and you visit people and you knock on the door and say, look, Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid the price, that if you would just believe on him, thou shalt be saved. I mean, and you talk to them, they know they're on their way to hell. They don't want to think about it, but they know it deep down inside. They're on their way to hell. And they say, the price has been paid. Jesus Christ has already paid it. It's yours. Has he not? Has it not been given? Has the gift of eternal life not been given? Does it not belong to every man, boy, woman, child on this planet? Is their names not written in the book of life? Yes, it is. But the name is not in the Lamb's book of life till they receive him. And God is a very good bookkeeper. What has been bought and given to them, if they will not receive it, they lose it. God told old Naaman, he said, go down there to the river and wash thyself 7 times, and thou be clean. All you got to do is do what I ask you to do. And what is it we ask people to do? To believe that Jesus Christ paid it all. All to him I owe, sin has left a crimson stain, but his blood has washed it white as snow. I told my preacher, I was talking to him after service the other week. We sang that song, "It's Under the Blood, It's Under the Blood." I said, "Well, if it's under the blood, that means our sins is in heaven? That's where our blood is, right? Huh? No. We didn't get the covering. We didn't get a covering for sin. Our sin was washed away. It's gone. As far as the east is from the west, our sins are gone. Well, praise God. Our sins are gone. And it says right here, and Elisha, the man of God, he heard this, that he'd rent his clothes, and he sent that messenger, said, "Go wash thyself in Jordan." Naaman got mad. And I've had it happen many a time. I tell somebody, "I don't believe that. That ain't right." I've had them get mad at me because I tell them all they have to do. No, they say, "You got to live it." Any of you hear about soul winning and hear that? I mean, they get almost mad at it. "You got to live it. It ain't enough just..." I said, "What makes you think you can't live it? You think you can live it? You think you're going to live perfectly? You think you can live like Jesus? You saved right now. Do you think you live like Jesus? If it wasn't God working in you, if it wasn't God's grace and mercy, all He would see is that filthy flesh of ours, and we would be consumed if His mercies were not new every day. But praise God."
Amen.
Huh? We've got a day coming. And we're going to be like Him. We have the victory. It's not in us. It's in Christ Jesus. Notice this. And he said, and he, man, he gets mad and says, "Are not Abana and Pharpah, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then that he saith to thee, wash and be clean?" And then went he down. He got to thinking. Sometimes we got to have somebody. See, he was a great man. Sometimes it's hard to humble yourself. Get up here and you're thinking you're somebody. Two of his servants came to him and said, "Father," he said, "if he asked you to do some great thing, would you have not done it? How much more?" He said, "Go and wash." And so he did. He then went he down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan. Again, don't you think that these were servants? Don't you think that if their Lord had gotten mad and they used to following Him, they said, "Well, I tell you what, man, he messed with my master. He let you have it, boy. Huh? He told you what?" I said, we might be back down here, okay? Huh? To give y'all what for. But no, God was working, you see. God spoke. God used him. God worked in him, gave victory to Syria. Not only that, then he worked through him, did that. But now he sent a little girl to whisper a word into his ear. Where do you think that come from? It comes from God. God speaking to him. And then he spoke into the king's ear and said, "Hey, yeah, you need to send him down there." And he does. Then here the king was. There in Israel, he blind as a bat. He just down here trying to start a fight. God worked in that, didn't he? Smoothed it over. Got word to the man of God. The man of God came down. Huh? The man of God tells him what to do. He gets all upset about it. But God is going to be glorified in this. He ain't done. Ain't you glad? He never give up on you. How many times did somebody tell you the right way and you said, "I ain't interested in that. I'm going to go my way. I'm going to do my thing. I'm just as good as they are." Remember what he said, "The water ain't the waters down in Damascus." And you know what? You were right. Them old church people come to you, and some of them got them long noses, they looking down at you, and maybe they got you turned away from God. Huh? But God wasn't done, was it? I'll guarantee you, about every one of us can sit here and think of somebody that before we got saved, as a Christian, if that's being a Christian, I don't want nothing to do with it. I'm just going to be honest. But he said, ain't the waters? He said, oh, nasty, dirty waters there. Remember years ago, Brother Jerry Whitehart said, I don't know if you fellas remember this, but Brother Jerry Whitehart said that somebody called him, was laying into him and everything. He said, that old gospel light over there, there ain't nothing in there but a bunch of ex-drunks and ex-whores. What he said. What the fella said. You know what Preacher Whitehart said? He said, that's the best compliment you ever give our church. That's the best compliment our church has ever got. Ex-drunk. Ex-whores. Praise God. Look here. We come down. I'm about done. And he said, and when he went down, dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, his flesh came again unto the flesh of the young child. He was clean. He returned to the man of God, he and all his company. And he came and stood before him. He done humbled now, buddy. He stood before him and said, behold, now I know there is no God in all. Notice this. He said, there's no God in all the earth. In all the earth. But in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. He done humbled himself. Remember old King Nebuchadnezzar? Oh, is this not great Babylon that I have built? And boy, and a word come down out of heaven and said, boy, you eating grass for 7 years. 7 times in the water, 7 years. He said that cycle's going to go around. You're going to eat grass until you're purified. 7 years. 7 times. But he came out on the other side. He said, now I know. He never was the same after that. He gave all the glory to God, and he never took not one bit of it after that. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe that this old fella ever took any credit after that. I think every time somebody asked him, you know who God is? Oh, yeah, I know who God is. It's Elohim. There is none other. He's God. He said, if it's one thing, though, he said, I got to go down. Man, my master, he's going to go down to, he said, and worship down in Rimmon. You know that star that them Jews walk around with? You know, the star of Rimmon. He said, I got to go down and bow my knees. He said, will the Lord hold me guiltless? He said, go in peace. God wanted him to know he made peace with him. He believed God. You know, God, I want you to, this is what I want you to see. God gave him the victory. And nobody knew it. He didn't know it. And there's a lot of people in churches walking around, they got the victory and they don't know it. They got so many things that's in their mind, so many distractions, just like his. Like he had a lot of distractions. I guarantee you with leprosy, he had a lot of distractions. I guarantee you he was constantly looking at this and looking at that and looking at this and looking at that. Hey, how many times you go through a week and you're looking at this and looking at that and looking at this and looking at that, and if you ain't careful, you'll forget. It'll be a distraction. It'll keep you from realizing that you're more than a conqueror. You have the victory in Christ Jesus. Brother, he was trying to encourage me this morning. I was dead on my feet. still am. I fail myself so much. I guess I'm probably my own worst critic. But there's one thing I do know. Victory in Christ.
Amen.
I really do know that. I really do. Deep down in my soul, no matter what's going on, no matter how bad I've messed up, when I stop and remember the faith of God that's worked in my life, I can say without a doubt, He has gotten me to victory.
Amen.
He's true. No matter how faithless and how bad I mess up, He is faithful. The world needs to see that about us.
Yes, sir.
What's the difference? It's believing. It's believing. You got it. We've got it. You know what the difference was? That king, he said, man, he just come in there and start a fight with him. But Elisha said, hey, you didn't come to me. He'll know that there's a prophet. You know why? He believed God. That little old girl, that little maid, she believed God. She might have been down in Israel, but she believed God. God spoke to her heart. She walked there in all confidence, walked right up to her mistress and said, I just believe in God. And she felt that faith of God move through her and touch that mistress. And she got word to her husband and said, you need to get down. I'm telling you this, that God is real down there. He's going to do something. You go down there and you find the man of God. He believes God. He's going to make a difference. And that's what needs to be coming out of us. That we believe God. So they have all confidence. Our children need to see that.
Yes, sir.
Our grandchildren need to see that. We need to make much of Him, and we need to get them to understand there's nothing that we can do to help them. Oh, we can give them a dollar here and there and kind of help them with things in this life, but only God. And we
yes,
need
sir.
To get that in their lives, that the only one that can help them in this life and the life to come is Him. It's got to happen. It's got to happen to us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.